to preach from Genesis 3. It's a famous chapter in the Bible. And it's the chapter that is often read at the beginning of the Nine Lessons and Carols, carol service. Well, they have them in a few places, don't they? Included, is it King's College, Cambridge, on Christmas Eve? And it's there because this is the first time that Jesus is mentioned, or the first time that the Saviour is mentioned, whom Jesus turned out to be. Just a point about salvation. It is much easier as a leader to continue from a previous leader or to inherit a situation which is working well. But if a situation has become a mess, if a situation has gone badly wrong, then the leadership which comes in to try and sort it out usually finds it a very costly task. So in vicar terms, it's relatively straightforward to take over from a previous vicar whose leadership has been good and who has been leading a church which is in good shape. It's much harder to go in and turn around a church which is failing, which is in danger of being closed maybe, which needs turning round. But the group of people who are part of the congregation still don't want to be turned round. It's costly. Costly being a saviour, if you like. That's the principle which is introduced in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Things have gone wrong, haven't they? Things have gone wrong in the relationship between the Lord and the first humans, Adam and Eve. What's gone wrong is that even though the Lord provided such good things, and at the same time gave one warning of what they shouldn't do, the one thing that they shouldn't do is to put themselves in the place of God and decide what good and evil was. It's God who says what good and evil is. And so what they shouldn't do is eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because that's God's job. Well, the humans did eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They set themselves up as God. They were encouraged to do so by the deceiver, who at the same time convinced them that they wouldn't face death, which is what they'd been warned would happen, even if they did. Well, the things which God had warned came to be. And so they set themselves up as God, and they decided for themselves what good and evil would be rather than what God had given them, and they felt shame because they realized they'd done wrong for the first time. And they realized that their relationship with God was fractured, gone wrong. And so when the Lord came along and tried to encourage them to confess, face up to what they'd done, they played the blame game, which is another aspect of the sinful nature. Here was a mess which all humans ever since have inherited and been part of. And so we need a saviour. It was the Lord God who realized we need a saviour. We probably would prefer not to have a saviour, thank you very much. Let's just carry on in our own sweet way, deciding for ourselves what good and evil is. But no, the Lord says you need a saviour. And in your good moments, you'll realise it. And so he put in place, in his first sorting out speech to the serpent, to the deceiver, the devil, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. So for a start, God says, humans and yourself, there will now be enmity between you. So that was helpful, because it meant that humans would have a chance of realizing that they were in opposition to the devil. Not in league, but in opposition to the devil. That's a good thing for us to be able to realize. It's a first step to realizing that we need salvation. We need to turn around. We need to realize who's on our side and who isn't. And then the Lord said this very strange but remarkably magnificent phrase. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Now, who's that referring to? Well, he will strike your head is saying that the offspring of Eve, the woman, will strike the deceivers, the serpent's head. The word strike actually means crush. So it's not just a glancing blow, but it's a fatal blow. There will be a serpent crusher, one who will crush the serpent's head. A savior, if you like. Somebody who will take on the evil one who has been part of causing the mess as a way of helping to sort things out and save the humans who are now in this mess. So we're told it's a male offspring of Eve who will strike, crush the serpent's head. And then it says, and you will strike his heel. So the serpent is told that they will strike the Savior's heel. Well, that's no big surprise in some ways. If you tread on a snake's head, what's quite likely to happen? You are quite likely to get bitten. And that's what it's saying. The one who crushes the serpent's head will at the same time get bitten on the heel. And this is a nasty serpent. So you can imagine that getting bitten on the heel by a nasty serpent is quite a costly thing, a painful thing, something that means that you sacrifice yourself in order to bring this salvation. And so here is, in this picture form, a presentation of the salvation which God will bring because of the sinfulness of humankind. It will be a male savior who will be struck down at the same time as achieving a victory which will bring salvation. They kept looking for this male offspring of Eve all the way through the Old Testament. And they were still looking nearly just over 2,000 years ago when Jesus arrived. But after Jesus had arrived, and particularly after Jesus had brought salvation on the cross, even as he was struck down, he won the victory over sin and shame and death. That people realized he was the serpent crusher. who would pay a costly price at the same time as bringing salvation. And from then on, they looked for a male offspring of Eve no longer. The long lists of male line in the Bible stopped at that point, because the Saviour had been found, and the Saviour who took the pain and cost upon himself. How do we respond? Well, for a start, we want to be thankful to Jesus for being our Saviour and taking that pain and cost. In a very practical way, as we consider the nature of salvation, it's also good if we get behind leaders who are paying a cost and trying to sort out mess. Just now and then you see leaders who are trying to face up to things and put things right, not just go along with things for the sake of popularity, but actually trying to sort things out for the better. And those people often need people to get behind them. And so here's a verse which reminds us of the nature of leadership in sorting out mess, and particularly the nature of Jesus' leadership in the salvation of the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation and your readiness to pay the cost at great personal sacrifice. And we thank you for good leaders who are willing to sort out messes, and pray that all leaders may look to you and realize what leadership is about, for your name's sake. Amen.